This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, January 4th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Water Board may ease SGMA fees. Rejecting VAs would generate turmoil. And Johnson says House R's working hard on a spending deal. Water Board may grant some leeway on SGMA fees. The State Water Board is reviewing six groundwater sustainability plans the Department of Water Resources has deemed inadequate. To cover the cost for staff time, the board is levying steep fees that get passed down to pumpers, adding to the existing fees for irrigated lands, confined animals, and other regulatory programs. During a recent update on the process, stakeholders raised alarms over the cumulative costs. We're paying a lot of fees, said Gail Delahunt, Senior Director for Government Affairs at Western Growers. A lot of these go for the same types of water quality issues. Staff responded that they are assessing the fee structure and could make some improvements. Now keep in mind, Board Chair Joaquin Esquivel noted that the state budget deficit is forcing agencies to pull back to, quote, mission critical expenses. He believes sending staff to engage in person with local agencies and pumpers would fall within that category. California rice leader warns of a world with unimpaired flows. One of California's leading voices in rice farming is warning the State Water Board that rejecting a set of voluntary agreements for its Bay Delta plan would, quote, generate turmoil. Bryce Lundberg is vice president at Lundberg Family Farms and serves as a member of the State Board of Food and Ag and as chair of the North California Water Association. Testifying recently at a lengthy board hearing on the proposal, Lundberg explains that dedicating 55% of the water that flows into the Delta to fish would, quote, be devastating to cities and rural communities, farms, fish and wildlife, hydropower and recreation. He called that approach a product of old science that hasn't worked. Lundberg went on to argue that it would unravel collaborative projects underway and lead to fighting instead of fixing. Now take note, Lundberg never passes up an opportunity to insert a little humor into a tough conversation. This time he ended with a song to the tune of Eric Clapton's Cocaine that touts the benefit of on-farm floodplains to support salmon. On that note, during the hearing, Board Chair Joaquin Esquivel blasted a former staffer who quit in protest to the agreement in 2022. The staffer, Max Gomberg, told reporters Governor Newsom was pressuring the agency to approve the agreements and argue the whole water rights system sets on a foundation of racism and violence. Esquivel said Gomberg, as a mid-level manager, never had access to such conversations with the governor and asserted that the board is, quote, trying to build trust in a very difficult discussion and decision. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision, Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning and welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Johnson stresses border security and spending cuts. A possible government shutdown is just over 2 weeks away, with the expiration of funding for USDA and several other agencies. House Republicans are continuing to negotiate with the Senate and White House on spending caps for fiscal 24. Speaker Mike Johnson said at a news conference yesterday at Eagle Pass, Texas on the Mexican border. But Johnson stressed that Republicans expect the deal to include cuts to non-defense spending and that President Biden and Senate Democrats must also agree to toughen immigration laws. We are working hard to get the appropriation bills done, Johnson told reporters. We have been working in earnest and good faith with the Senate and the White House virtually every day through the holidays, trying to come to an agreement. Texas Representative Beth Van Dyne, one of a group of Republicans who accompanied Johnson to the border, suggested her GOP colleagues were prepared to keep playing hardball on the border issue. She said, quote, "None of us want to shut down the government, but we all recognize the fact that every single penny that we're giving to Homeland Security at this point that is not being used to secure our border, that is not being used to increase our national security, but is doing the exact opposite, is hurting our national security." By the way, Johnson was asked by a reporter whether Republicans would push for mass deportations should the GOP win control of Congress and the White House. He replied, "We don't have a specific prescription yet that we're proposing." He noted that migrants, especially children who came over the border unaccompanied, would be hard to find. Missouri becomes the latest state to target foreign farmland purchases. Missouri has banned nations considered foreign adversaries from buying farmland within 10 miles of military establishments. Governor Mike Parson said at a news conference this week that, quote, "When it comes to China and other foreign adversaries, we must take common sense precautions that protect Missourians and our security resources." In addition to China, nations also designated include Cuba, Iran, North Korea, Russia, and Venezuela. Foreign ag land purchases in the state are currently capped at 1%. Parson's executive order, quote, "creates more stringent requirements for these land purchases and requires approval from the Missouri Department of Agriculture prior to any foreign acquisition of agriculture land," a news release from his office said. The order also requires disclosing certain information to MDA prior to any foreign entity acquiring Missouri agriculture land. Now keep in mind, 10 states enacted foreign land ownership laws this year. In Arkansas, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders recently fined Chinese-owned Syngenta $280,000 for a late ownership filing and ordered the company to sell a seed research facility and its attendant 160 acres. New platform yields carbon payments. A new milestone was reached this week with Dairy Farmers of America's purchase of carbon credits within its supply chain from one of its Texas dairy farmer members. Atheon, a cloud-based platform launched in a partnership with Elanco Animal Health, provides verification and marketplace for paying farmers for emission reductions generated on the farm. Atheon CEO Paul Meyer says that up to this point, they've worked with dairy cooperatives, processors, and packers to validate the carbon credit inset model. He says they're now at, quote, "a tipping point in showing farmers that this process works and can offer a new revenue stream." He says of the latest news, "It's a true validation of carbon insetting for the dairy industry." He anticipates the beef industry will be coming online soon, but dairy really is setting the pace for the industry as a whole. Producers can get paid for meeting manure management standards or using Elanco's feed additive Ruminicin, which the company says reduces methane emissions by 5%. Here's today's She Said It. "It is always a treat to be part of the festivities." That CDFA Secretary Karen Ross, who toured the floats ahead of the annual New Year's Day Rose Parade in Pasadena. Ross saluted the Cal Poly float for the use of several California-grown ag products. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, January 4th, brought to you by Robble AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nellie.